Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of Vittoria. Wellington's decisive defeat of Joseph Bonaparte's French army on 21st June 1813 in northeastern Spain in the Peninsular War. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site for the Battle of Vittoria. There you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the battle. The site also contains a description of the uniforms and weapons in use at the battle, and the orders of battle of each side. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@britishbattles.com. The Battle of Vittoria was fought on 21st June 1813 in northeastern Spain, to the south of Bilbao and near the French border. The combatants at the Battle of Vittoria were the British, Portuguese and Spanish against the French. The commanders at the Battle of Vittoria were the Marquess of Wellington, later the Duke of Wellington, against Joseph Bonaparte, brother of the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, imposed on the Spanish people as their king. Wellington's army comprised 52,000 British and 28,000 Portuguese troops. An army of 25,000 Spanish troops cooperated in the campaign. Wellington's army had 90 guns. The French army, drawn from the Army of the South, the Army of the Centre, and the Army of Portugal, comprised 50,000 troops, including 7,000 cavalry, with 150 guns. Joseph also commanded a small Spanish contingent. The winners of the Battle of Vittoria were the British, Portuguese, and Spanish. Lord Wellington began the 1812 campaign, the year before the Battle of Vittoria, by capturing the two cities on the Portuguese border that were key to driving the French from Spain, Ciudad Rodrigo on 19th January 1812 and Badajoz on 6th April 1812. In May 1812, the Emperor Napoleon began his fateful invasion of Russia, leaving his brother King Joseph in nominal command of the French armies in Spain. Napoleon told his brother that Wellington would remain on the defensive for the rest of 1812. Napoleon was wrong. Following his capture of Badajoz, Wellington brought his army back to Ciudad Rodrigo and began an advance northeast up the main road leading to Salamanca, Burgos and the northeast of Spain. On 22nd July 1812, Wellington heavily defeated Marshal Marmont's Army of Portugal at the Battle of Salamanca. Following Salamanca, on 12th August 1812, Wellington occupied Madrid, the Spanish capital, driving Joseph into a hurried retreat to the east, with his army and the Spanish rash enough to support him. In September 1812, Wellington resumed his advance up the main road, arriving before Burgos and beginning his attack on Burgos Castle on 19th September 1812. The attack was unsuccessful, forcing Wellington to spend the rest of 1812 in a fighting retreat back to Ciudad Rodrigo. The French hope was that Wellington would be unable to resume the offensive for some time, leaving the French armies across Spain to deal conclusively with the Spanish insurrections that were such a drain on their resources. Wellington spent the winter of 1812-13 reorganising his forces and bringing in reinforcements from Britain. He also meticulously planned his 1813 offensive against the French. Joseph and his chief of staff, Marshal Jourdan, were advised by all the French generals with knowledge of the country that if Wellington was to advance in 1813, he would be forced to use the well-trodden route from Ciudad Rodrigo to Salamanca, Valladolid, and Burgos. The French needed only to repeat their strategy of the previous year and hold that road to bring Wellington to a halt, as they had in 1812. Jourdan suspected that Wellington would not use the Burgos road, but outflank the French armies by advancing from the northeastern Portuguese border around their northwestern flank. Jourdan was nearly alone in this fear. The other French commanders asserted that the mountains to the northwest were impassable to an army with artillery. But this was exactly Wellington's plan. Wellington's army of British, Portuguese, and Spanish troops assembled in the area between Ciudad Rodrigo in the south and northern Portugal and began its advance in May 1813, the right flank of the advance being initially on the road to Salamanca. The difficulties of the French armies were substantial. Napoleon was draining away drafts of experienced veterans from the regiments in Spain to rebuild the French army destroyed in the Russian campaign. As throughout the Peninsular War, the French commanders were unable to obtain reliable information on Wellington's movements, or even communicate effectively with each other due to the operations of the all-pervasive Spanish guerrillas, while Wellington was well informed on French movements by the same guerrillas. Wellington's army was supported by an extensive and efficient commissariat, which made the advance across the barren, mountainous region of the northwest of Spain possible, although demanding. As Wellington advanced, his army's base of supply was moved from Lisbon in Portugal to Santander in the northeast of Spain. Difficulties with communications through the guerrilla-infested country impeded Joseph in concentrating his forces to meet the threat from Wellington's army. With Madrid no longer tenable, Joseph dispatched two substantial convoys of valuables and money to the northeast of Spain. These convoys reached Vitoria, and it was there that Joseph was forced to confront Wellington's army. On 30th May 1813, British divisions crossed the River Esla and joined their comrades crossing the River Douro. Wellington's army, now united, turned east and began the march in behind the French right flank, fighting on 18th June 1813 the Battle of St. Milan and Osma against General Ray. Three French armies, the Army of the South, the Army of the Centre, and the Army of Portugal, were concentrating at Vitoria, where they awaited General Clausel and his Army of the North, formed from divisions of the Army of Portugal. Clausel arrived the day after the Battle of Vitoria. Vitoria lies at the eastern end of a rectangular plain stretching from east to west. The main road to France heads northeast across the plain. The Madrid Road runs to the southwest. Forming a crossroads with these roads are the north-south roads to Bilbao. The River Zadorra flows along the northern boundary of the plain and makes a wide curve to the south, leaving the plain at its southwestern corner through a narrow defile at La Puebla. The foothills of the Pyrenees Mountains surround the plain. The River Zadorra was described by French officers who reconnoitred it as shallow and fordable at all points. This was partially true, but the river banks were steep and high in many places, making access difficult, and the river was dammed for the use of several mills, creating wide, deep lagoons. Several bridges crossed the Zadorra. The French army, gathered at Vitoria from 20th June 1813, suffered significant handicaps. Its soldiers were imbued with the fighting spirit training and experience of the French armies of the time, but they lacked a strong central command. Three separate French armies were present at Vitoria, armies that had operated for years in different areas of Spain, under commanders only reluctantly acknowledging the authority of Joseph. While Joseph's chief of staff, Marshal Jourdan, was a prominent French soldier, he was still only chief of staff. On the night of 18th June 1813, Wellington's army lay along the northwest to southeast road between Mambliga and Espejo, some 20 miles to the west of Vitoria, with Rey's three divisions of the Army of Portugal around Salinas de Añana, a few miles away. The rest of Joseph's army lay further south, marching towards Vitoria. Only at this time did Joseph and his chief of staff, Marshal Jourdan, finally resolve that a stand must be made in the Vitoria plain. The decision was influenced by the need to cover the substantial convoys of valuables, cash, and official documentation, either in Vitoria or heading there, and the danger to Clausel's Army of the North, expected in Vitoria from the northeast. Rey was ordered to fall back on Subiana de Morillas on the river Bayas, resisting the advance of Wellington's columns as he did so, to enable Joseph's troops to cross the Bayas and reach Vitoria before being cut off by Wellington's advance. Rey carried out this order, enabling the divisions of d'Erlon and Gazan to cross the river Zadorra before he was forced back. On the night of the 19th June 1813, Wellington's divisions encamped along the river Bayas. Jourdan was unsure what Wellington was planning. Reports were coming in of activity from the direction of Bilbao, and Jourdan could not rule out the prospect of an attack on Vitoria from the north rather than the west. With the decision to make a stand around Vitoria, Joseph and Jourdan were putting their trust in the arrival of General Clausel, who, after receiving Joseph's summons to join his army at Burgos, was marching southwest from Pamplona with ample supplies, Topin's and Barbo's divisions of the Army of Portugal, and Abbe's and Van der Meesen's divisions of the Army of the North, some 12,000 men in all. While Clausel was unaware that Joseph and his army had been forced into headlong retreat up the Burgos road, his journey to Burgos should take him through Vitoria, where he would meet Joseph's army. The question was whether Clausel would arrive in time for the battle with Wellington, in which case his additional troops could well tip the scales in favour of Joseph. In the event, Clausel did not arrive in time. General Foy was operating towards Bilbao when he received Joseph's instructions to bring his division to join the army at Vitoria. Foy's commitments in relation to Bilbao and the French convoys passing through the city prevented him from immediately obeying Joseph's instruction, and his division also missed the battle. As the French army marched into the Vitoria plain, it took up defensive positions behind the river Zadorra. The Army of the South, 22,000 infantry, 4,000 cavalry, and 50 guns, positioned itself furthest to the west, becoming the inevitable target for Wellington's opening assault. In the southwest corner of the Vitoria plain, a single French brigade, Marensin's, occupied the village of Subiana, with troops on the extensive and lofty Puebla Heights, south of the village. Three further divisions of the Army of the South formed a line along the hills from south to north, behind the western arm of the river Zadorra, overlooking the village of Nanclares on the far bank, Conruz, Daricos, and Laval's, each division with a battery of artillery posted to its front. To the right rear of these divisions, the division of Vilat occupied the knoll of Arinez with three field batteries. Of the three divisions of cavalry of the Army of the South, Soult's light cavalry was at Arignes, Tilly's dragoons at Ali, some 5 miles to the rear of the infantry, and Dijon's dragoons at Ariaga, on the river Zadorra, immediately north of Vitoria. The Army of the Centre, 9,000 infantry, 1,000 cavalry and 14 guns, occupied the heights to the west of the village of Gomecha, behind the Army of the South and in the centre of the Vitoria Plain. D'Armagnac's division to the north of the main west-east road and Cazagne's division to the south of the road. Joseph's Spanish contingent was far in the rear on the road to Salinas, northeast of Vitoria. The cavalry of the Army of the Centre, Trailhard's dragoons and Avey's light cavalry, were in the rear. The Army of Portugal, 11,000 infantry, 1,200 cavalry and 42 guns, was positioned with much of its infantry, the divisions of La Martinière, Mercune and Sarit, each with a battery, some 4 miles immediately behind the Army of the South, between the villages of Ali and Armentia. The cavalry of the Army of Portugal lay along the northern arm of the river Zadorra, between Gobio and Margarita, guarding the various fords and bridges and the area to the north of the river. 25 of the guns of the Army of Portugal were in the artillery reserve held in Vitoria, with the reserve of the Army of the Centre. Joseph and Jourdan intended to conduct a review of the French positions on 20th June 1813 and make a final decision as to their deployment for the battle. There was little time, as Wellington's army lay nearby, behind Subiana on the river Bias, 6 miles west of the river Zadorra at Nanclares, and was clearly resting from the exertions of its march before attacking the French. The restriction on Joseph's freedom of choice was the vast accumulation of stores, treasure, and records of government at Vitoria. A large convoy left for the French border on 19th June 1813, still leaving much to dispose of. Jourdan was ill on 20th June 1813, and the review put off to the next day, a fatal postponement. Jourdan's continuing apprehension was that Wellington intended to advance on Bilbao and attack the French armies at Vitoria from the north. An infantry brigade from the Army of Portugal, supported by a brigade of dragoons, was dispatched up the northern road towards Murguia. The French troops were stopped by the Spanish force commanded by Longa and driven back. This encounter confirmed Jourdan in his suspicion that this was the true direction of Wellington's attack on Vitoria, and he ordered Sarut's division across the river Zadorra by the Ariaga Bridge, with orders to hold the road at Aranguiz. Arriving on the river Bias on 20th June 1813, Wellington's troops needed the day to recover from the arduous march from the Portuguese border. Wellington also needed to prepare his dispositions for the attack on the French. Graham and Giron were ordered to occupy Murguia on the far left wing of the army. The British 3rd and 7th Divisions crossed the river Bias and prepared to launch the main attack from the west. At 1 a.m. on 21st June 1813, Sarut's division crossed the river Zadorra and took up position at the village of Aranguiz, supported by a battery of artillery and a brigade of light cavalry from Courtauld's division. At 3 a.m, Joseph's second large convoy left Vitoria for Bayonne, escorted by Mokoun's division, thereby reducing his army by around 4,000 men. Soon afterwards, at around 5 a.m, Joseph and Jourdan began the reconnaissance postponed from the previous day. They began their inspection at the village of Zoiseau, 3 miles west of Vitoria. Joseph and Jourdan were favourably impressed by the defensive potential at Zoiseau, a position on raised ground, giving a good field of fire for guns, with a mountain on its left flank and the river Zadorra on the right, and near to Aranguiz, the point beyond the river threatened by the impending British advance from the direction of Bilbao. Joseph and Jourdan were considering bringing back the divisions positioned further forward, overlooking the western arm of the river Zadorra, when they received warning from Gazin, the commander of the Army of the South, that Wellington's troops were on the move. It was too late to make any redisposition. At around 8 a.m., the outposts of Marensin's division, situated on the Puebla Heights, sent word that two British and Spanish columns had crossed the river Zadorra at Puebla. One column, comprising Morillo's Spanish troops, was scaling the Puebla Heights, and the other, comprising the main body of Hill's 2nd Division, was advancing up the main Burgos Road towards Vitoria. The flanking threat on the Puebla Heights was of great concern to Jourdan, who ordered Gazin to send the whole of Marensin's division onto the heights and to support him with an additional division. 5 batteries were ordered forward from the Army of Portugal's reserve at Vitoria to support Gazin and d'Erlon. Additional news came in from Avi, with his light cavalry division on the northern bank of the river Zadorra, that a strong column of British troops was advancing south towards Tres Puentes. Jourdan ordered d'Erlon to send d'Armagnac's division to defend the Tres Puentes crossings, accompanied by the cavalry of the Army of the Centre, Trailhard's Dragoon Division, and the rest of Avi's Light Cavalry Division. On the French left flank, Morillo's Spanish troops reached the summit of the Puebla Heights, where they engaged Marensin's troops. Hill reinforced Morillo with the 71st Highland Light Infantry and the light companies of Walker's Brigade. Slowly, the French were driven back up the hillside. In the meantime, Wellington was holding up his planned attack elsewhere on the battlefield because Dalhousie's left centre column, allotted the task of attacking across the northern arm of the river Zadorra, east of Tres Fuentes, had lost its way during the approach march and failed to appear. British troops were massed around Nanclares, awaiting events, with a party making its way up the river Zadorra to Velodas. While Gazin considered Morillo's advance up the Puebla Heights to be a feint, Jourdan was considerably disturbed by the attack, taking the opposite view to Gazin, and considering the advance towards the northern arm of the river Zadorra to be the feint. None of Wellington's attacks were feints. They were all full assaults on the various French armies. Joseph followed Jourdan's urgings that the Puebla Heights must be retaken. Cazagne's infantry division was moved to the village of Barosta Quieta at the eastern end of the heights with Tilly's Dragoon Division, while Velat's infantry division was ordered onto the heights via Zumelu to sweep along the crest to the west and drive back the Spanish and British attack. Hill was now advancing up the main Burgos Road. Hill sent the 50th and 92nd Regiments of Callaghan's Brigade to support the 71st, while the rest of the brigade attacked Subiana, where a lengthy struggle took place in the village and the surrounding woods. The position of the 71st and the Spanish troops on the Puebla Heights was threatened by the attack of Vilat's division. Colonel Cameron, now commanding all 3 British regiments, the 50th, 71st and 92nd, on the heights, required his men to sit down, out of sight, until the French were within 30 yards. The British troops stood up and delivered a volley that sent Vilat's men rushing back across the mountainside. Vilat's men reformed for a further attack, but became increasingly unsure as they saw the developments in the open ground to their north, until finally no advance was made. While these attacks were taking place, the other formations of Wellington's army were finally beginning their advance. The Light Division and the Hussar Brigade, directed by Wellington himself, marched up the River Zadorra from Nanclares and formed for the attack, concealed from the French on the far side of the river by the thick banks of scrub. Cole's column formed up behind Nanclares. Picton's 3rd Division formed at Mendoza, to the north of the bend in the River Zadorra. Wellington only awaited the arrival of the balance of Lord Dalhousie's 7th Division at the northern end of the line to begin the attack. While Dalhousie's 1st Brigade was in place, the main part of his 7th Division lost its way during the approach march over the mountains, holding up Wellington's plan while he waited for the missing formation. Soldiers from the 95th Rifles engaged French skirmishers across the river while they waited. A Spanish peasant approached some British officers and informed them that there was a bridge at Tres Puentes unoccupied by the French. The peasant's offer to conduct the British to the bridge was accepted, and Kempt's brigade of the Light Division, led by the 1st 95th Rifles, set off. Kempt's brigade took a path leading back into the mountains to conceal their move. Arriving at the bridge, Kempt's brigade doubled across and climbed into the hills on the south bank. Led by Colonel Barnard, the 1st 95th halted in a hollow within a short distance of D'Armagnac's division, at that moment accompanied by Joseph Bonaparte. Shortly afterwards, Kempt summoned the 15th Hussars across the bridge in support of his brigade. Avey's division of French light cavalry was still on the north bank of the River Zadorra, to the north of Tres Puentes. A party of troops from Avey's division rode down to the bridge and were subjected to fire by Kempt's men on the far bank. D'Erlon heard from Avey that British troops were across the River Zadorra at Tres Puentes and hurried to the scene, to find that Joseph and Jourdain, unaware of the threat to their position, were about to dispatch the divisions of D'Armagnac and Cassandre to counterattack Hill in his advance up the Burgos Road. On hearing D'Erlon's information, Joseph and Jourdain were amazed to find the position of the Army of the Centre so badly compromised, without any of its senior officers being aware of the British incursion across the river at Tres Puentes. Further to the south, Hill was now in possession of the village of Subiana, enabling Wellington to order an attack across the River Zadorra by Picton's 3rd Division and Cole's 4th Division. Picton advanced to the bridge across the River Zadorra at Mendoza, a half-mile east of Tres Puentes. Picton's men were resisted by French skirmishers and a battery of guns. Hearing the burst of firing, Colonel Barnard's 95th Rifles left its position on the southern bank overlooking the Tres Puentes bridge and drove off the French troops and guns blocking Picton's advance. Picton's 2 brigades crossed the river by the bridge and a ford and formed in columns on the southern bank. Dalhousie finally arrived at the Mendoza Bridge and crossed the river. The 4th Division also crossed to the French bank by way of the bridge at Nanclares. With the line of the River Zadorra taken by Wellington's divisions, Jourdain ordered a French withdrawal step by step back to the heights of Zoiseau by the divisions of the left wing, Marensin's, Villatz, Conroux's and Derricot's. To enable these divisions to withdraw, Cazin ordered Laval's division to the knoll of Arignes, while D'Erlon led the divisions of D'Armagnac and Cazagne to Margarita. In addition, some 60 guns were massed in the area of the knoll to give the left wing the best chance of withdrawing to the Zoiseau position. Dalhousie and Colville's brigades of Picton's division attacked D'Erlon around Margarita and Lermanda, while Kempt and Brisbane's brigades attacked the knoll of Arignes. A hard-fought struggle took place in and around the village of Arignes, with Picton leading the assault and Wellington supervising from a position further back. Wellington himself halted the 88th and 74th Regiments and reformed them before permitting them to continue with their attack on the village. Major Dixon, commanding the British artillery, brought the guns up the main Burgos road and formed them up to deliver a substantial bombardment on Laval's division. The French were forced back, and a mounted battery lost three of its guns in retreating through the village. Substantial casualties were suffered by each side, but particularly by the British, at the hands of the French skirmishers. Laval pulled his division and its accompanying artillery back, contesting the ground all the way, to a position at the northern end of Gazan's line, based on Zuazo. As Laval fell back, he left d'Erlon's flank exposed. D'Erlon's divisions, until this point, were resisting the advance of Colville's brigade. Dalhousie seems to have allowed his attention to shift from d'Erlon to the attack on Arignes, leaving Colville to engage d'Erlon's divisions alone. Seizing an opportunity, Vandeleur's brigade of the Light Division, 1st and 2nd 95th Rifles and 52nd Light Infantry Regiments, stormed Margarita with Dalhousie's 2nd Brigade in support. Shortly afterwards, Colonel Goff led his 87th Regiment in the capture of La Manda. D'Erlon was well into his withdrawal by now, taking up positions that extended Gazan's Zuazo line to the river Zadorra at Crispiana, with Trailhard's and Avey's cavalry divisions behind him. Along Wellington's line, his divisions were coming up in pursuit of the withdrawing French. The French right wing, held by Ray's Army of Portugal, lay to the northeast of Vitoria, on the eastern section of the river Zadorra, some 7 miles from the area where Wellington was assaulting the armies of the centre and the south. Graham began his attack on the Army of Portugal at 2 p.m. on his own initiative. Two columns of infantry and one of cavalry advanced on Sarut's division, positioned north of the Arriaga Bridge, causing the French to fall back towards the bridge. Ray, informed of the British movement to the north of the river Zadorra, moved La Martiniere's division to the bridge at Gamara, immediately to the east of the Arriaga Bridge. Graham sent Longa's Spanish division to tackle the Gamara Bridge and the next bridge to the east at Durana, held by Joseph's Spanish troops, who immediately abandoned their position, leaving Longa free to cross the river Zadorra and move on Ray's right flank, a step Longa failed to take, remaining at the bridge for the rest of the battle. Ray reacted to the threat from Graham's columns with a number of dispositions. Meny's brigade of Sarut's division in Abechuco covered the bridge at Arriaga. La Martiniere's division held Gamara Mayor, with Frérion's brigade of Sarut's division positioned between Abechuco and Arriaga to provide support for both formations. Of the cavalry, Dijon's division of dragoons supported the French in Arriaga, and Mermet's division of dragoons supported Gamara Mayor. A brigade of Couto's light cavalry covered the river Zadorra between Arriaga and Gobbio. General Oswald now launched Robinson's brigade of the 5th Division in an attack on Gamara Mayor. These British regiments were caught by a blast of fire from a battery on their flank and thrown into confusion. The attack was renewed, and the brigade took Gamara Mayor and stormed across the bridge, capturing a gun. On the far bank, the three British regiments were caught in the fire of yet another French battery and driven back across the bridge by La Martiniere's troops. A French officer reported after the battle that the opposing regiments charged each other back and forth on 7 occasions. General Oswald now sent forward Hay's brigade to take over the attack from Robinson's. Again the British took the bridge and were again driven back by the French. While the fighting was taking place around Gamara Mayor, Graham launched a further attack on Ebechuco, preceded by a bombardment from two British batteries. Halkett's two light battalions of the King's German Legion stormed Ebechuco, taking four French guns. No further advance towards the bridge at Ariaga was made. Wellington ordered the advance of the British and Portuguese troops against the French Army of the South, positioned behind Zuazo, and d'Erlon's divisions along the north arm of the River Zadorra, while the British and Spanish troops fought on the Puebla Heights with Marensin's and Villatte's divisions. The British and Portuguese, advancing on the lower ground, suffered from the heavy artillery fire of the French guns in the extended Zuazo position. D'Erlon stood fast in Crispiana, but as Wellington's line advanced, Gazan's Army of the South fell back from the Zuazo position towards Vitoria, leaving D'Erlon's left flank badly exposed. At around 5 p.m. on 21st June 1813, Joseph made the decision that the battle was lost and sent orders to all the French generals in the field to disengage and retreat by the eastern road out of Vitoria towards Salvatierra. Joseph sent General Turley to ensure that the guns and baggage in the park in Vitoria were evacuated. In the meantime, Sarut and Dijon attempted to hold the bridge at Ariaga, Dijon in vain sending messages to Vitoria calling for a single division and 12 guns to hold back Graham's attack. No such reinforcements were forthcoming. The armies of the south and the centre made a last stand on a line between the villages of Ali and Armentia, halting the advance of the 3rd Division before beginning the final withdrawal through Vitoria. Fighting effectively until this point, the French divisions became unsteady in this final withdrawal. The British 4th Division launched an assault on the left of the French line, which drove the French troops out of their positions in confusion. On the British left, D'Erlon's withdrawal left a gap through which the British Hussar Brigade advanced and attacked the exposed left flank of Sarut's division. Dijon's 5th and 12th Dragoon Regiments charged repeatedly, attempting to rescue Sarut's infantry, but were repelled. On the French right flank, the British 1st Division crossed the bridge of Ariaga, and the 5th Division crossed the bridge at Gamara. Ray withdrew his brigades in succession, aided by Dijon's dragoons. Wellington's army was now occupying most of the roads, forcing D'Erlon's and Ray's divisions to retreat to the Salvatierra road across country, causing the French to abandon their guns. Ray's army of Portugal finally rallied in Batonho, 3 miles northeast of Vitoria, at around 7 p.m. By 7:30 p.m. on 21st June 1813, the British Hussar Brigade was in Vitoria, and some regiments were looting and no longer available for combat. Anson's and Bock's brigades of cavalry, after crossing the bridge at Gamara, were pursuing the French in the direction of Pamplona. 3,000 vehicles were crammed into the area of Vitoria, filled with goods being removed by Joseph's army, together with herds of livestock. These were extensively looted by troops of all nationalities involved in the battle. There were also crowds of civilians attempting to escape the collapse of the French regime in Spain. Joseph is said to have abandoned his coach and escaped on horseback from the British 18th Hussars. Ray's divisions continued east out of Batonho, evading or fighting off the pursuit, and finally marched down the road towards Salvatierra. Later that night, Joseph, Jourdan, and the senior French officers gathered in Salvatierra to contemplate the approaching end of their dominance of Spain. In the Battle of Vitoria, the British suffered 3,675 troops killed or wounded, the Portuguese 921, and the Spanish 562. The French suffered 8,000 troops killed, wounded or captured, and lost all their 150 guns, except one. Losses fell disproportionately on British regiments. The 71st Highland Light Infantry, involved in the extensive fighting on the Puebla Heights, lost 15 officers and 301 soldiers killed or wounded. The other regiments in the same brigade lost 104 casualties for the 50th and 20 for the 92nd. In O'Callaghan's brigade of the 2nd Division, the 39th lost 209 of all ranks killed or wounded, the 28th lost 200, and the 34th lost 76. The 4th and Light Divisions had few casualties. Several British and German brigades, including the two brigades of Foot Guards, did not fire a shot in the battle. Casualties in the British cavalry regiments were few. The Battle of Vittoria was of wide significance throughout Europe. The Emperor Napoleon was already reeling from the catastrophe of the Russian campaign. Vittoria helped to show that his dominance of the continent was coming to an end. The battle established Lord Wellington's reputation throughout Europe. On hearing the news of the battle, the Austrians mobilized and declared war on France. The emperors of Russia and Austria both offered Lord Wellington command of their armies, which he declined. Fortescue considers the battle to have been an unsatisfactory victory. He points out that the French suffered few casualties regiment by regiment. The French defeat is, however, marked by their loss of 150 guns and the loss of their baggage. Fortescue's judgment is that the British divisions were not well handled in the battle, with some regiments allowed to suffer heavy casualties while inadequately supported. Fortescue questions why Wellington's troops did not cross the shallow river Zadorra at more points. He asks why Graham failed to push his substantial force across the almost undefended bridge taken by Longa at Durana and attack Ray's army of Portugal in the flank. The Battle of Vittoria is a clasp on the 1848 Military General Service Medal and a battle honour for the British regiments that took part in the battle. A list of those regiments is given on the BritishBattles.com website on the battle. One of the items looted from Joseph Bonaparte's baggage was a silver chamber pot. The regiment that liberated the pot, the 14th Light Dragoons, later 14th Hussars, and now the King's Royal Hussars, retained it as a trophy and to this day use it on regimental guest nights for toasts, filled with champagne. The chamber pot is known as the Emperor. To commemorate the battle, Beethoven wrote a symphony that he called Wellington's Victory. One of the changes implemented in the British Army during the winter of 1812-13 was to give the senior sergeant in each infantry company the new rank of colour sergeant, with the regimental colours embroidered beneath his chevrons. While in the cavalry, the senior sergeant in each troop was given the new rank of troop sergeant major. General Picton went into battle at Vittoria wearing his characteristic blue topcoat and top hat. The 1st 95th Rifles led Kempt's brigade across the river Zadorra at Tres Puentes. The hill the 95th mounted on the south bank was given the name of Barnard's Hill after the commanding officer of the battalion, Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Barnard. When Wellington's army entered Vittoria, General Ponsonby's brigade of cavalry, the 5th Dragoon Guards and the 3rd and 4th Dragoons rode past a pile of dollars lying in the street. No soldier attempted to touch them. General Ponsonby left a sergeant major to gather as many of the coins as he could, and a distribution was made of $5 to each of the 1,300 men in the brigade. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of Vittoria. I hope you have enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the BritishBattles.com site on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part, with a map of the battle.